The modern patron saint of Advent is the English poet T.S. Eliot, also of St. Louis, Missouri. He once wrote beautiful words. He said, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Through the unknown remembered gate, when the last of earth left to discover, is that which was the beginning, at the source of the longest river, the voice of the hidden waterfall, the children in the apple tree, not known because not looked for, but heard, half heard in the stillness between two waves of the sea." It's from his poems, The Four Quartets, which he wrote listening to Bach's cello quartet. Wonderful Advent reading. Today is the beginning of another church year, and I find there is a kind of hiddenness in the way that I experience time passing in my life, as though the secret of life, the meaning of time, lays hidden until I'm jostled awake. It's as though I am napping through most of the important seasons. And I find myself suddenly startled awake, as though I am walking into a surprise birthday party. Or maybe the way my head knocks against the window as I'm asleep and knocked awake as the car goes over a bump. And then I notice the time is really passing. I have to be startled awake, slightly jolted, to realize, yes, I am alive, and something real and meaningful is happening beneath this great mayonnaise of busyness, this great mayonnaise of moderately significant activity that fills the hours of my life in repetitive patterns. Today is the gentle knock on the car window. If we are napping through the church here, today is the knock of the head on the window. It's Advent. And the message is to wake from your daydreams and your napping. The mind of the church is telling the spirit of the flock, it's time to awake from slumbering because he is coming. What we have been waiting for, both in silence and in song, it is coming. It is time to make a new beginning. Or as T.S. Eliot has said, there is a half-heard voice to hear. The laughter of the children in the apple tree. There is a half-heard voice of beauty and holiness to hear. As we make a new beginning, as we must make new repetitions in time's pattern in our life. The old prophets talked about it. Jeremiah, "The days are surely coming. I will fulfill the promises I made to Israel and Judah. A righteous branch will spring up from David. Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety." The old poets and prophets, they lay awake imagining this day. They lay awake knowing that there is a time to discover that all of our days are in God's hands. And Advent is the season to recognize that our times are in God's hands, that the fabric of our reality is woven into a larger bolt of cloth. And the Creator is unfolding that bolt of cloth. And Advent is the season we wake from sleeping in the daydream that this is our world. Oh, that is a convenient daydream. That this is our world and that we are its centerpiece. Jesus is the one figure of the Bible who is a prophet, priest, and king. And with his friends in this passage from Luke, Jesus is clearly speaking with the voice of one of the last Old Testament prophets. He's casting a heavenly vision before the face of his friends. And like Jeremiah and the prophets of the old story, Jesus is leaning forward into time, leaning forward into time and space. And he is pointing out something very significant, that time and space in the presence of Jesus is not a circle. It is not a season, turn, turn, turn. No. The fabric of time and space in the presence of Jesus is an arrow which points in a particular direction. And the message of that arrow is to be encouraged, because the nations will always be in distress and people will always faint because they are discovering that their perception of reality has been false. They faint and they are afraid because they discover they have believed in the wrong reality. That they haven't heard and known that there is a God. And that our destiny is to meet that God, whether we want to or not. That's one of the things that's true for everyone in this room. Every one of us will meet God, whether we want to or not. And the message today is that He is coming. And so that while the world is daily falling apart or falling away, and while many are fainting and simmering in distress because they are believing in a falsehood, Jesus' trajectory, His arrow, says, stand up, come on, stand up. Look into the face of reality. Raise your heads and your eyes. Let your faces be clear. Let God's light shine on your face in truth. Because your lifeboat, your redemption, your answer, your friend is coming for you. The message is, don't be fooled. And more importantly, don't fool yourselves. Be awake to what really matters in life. It's as though the church is saying to us in Advent, just gently, like a loving mother or father, wake up, sweetheart. It's time to wake up. We're almost there. Wake up, get ready. Your real life is about to begin. And so in this season, please, please, may we help one another to really pray. May we help one another to listen for God in the scriptures and in the songs. Might we turn off the Christmas noise on the radio or on the television? Can we really help one another listen to God rather than the noise of the world in distress? Perhaps we could spend as much time trying to be in God's house as we are trying to make all of the holiday parties, make all of the festivities, not miss anything. Maybe we can help each other truly remember that there are poor people in our streets. People who are truly poor. Perhaps we can remember those people And those places that are so easy for us to forget when we are busy with the noise of Christmas in a world that's falling away. The people that are easy for us to forget because we don't look for them. My friends, these are the days for us to remember that we are not simply made for this world. We were not created to live simply in this world. We were made to go to the next place. Go to the next place with the one who is coming. There's a wonderful story that is told or was discovered by the Christian writer Oz Guinness. Some 200 years ago, on a beautiful day in May, the Connecticut House of Representatives had gathered for session, and the sun was so bright on that May day that they needed no candlelight and no lamps for their meeting. And suddenly, in the midst of the meeting, there was a great shadow that passed over the room. Darkness descended on the chamber there in the middle of the day, and right in the middle of the debate, there happened to be an eclipse of the sun. And looking around at one another, they looked at one another like travelers caught in an ambush, because many of them thought that it was the second coming of our Lord. He's here. He is here. This is it. This is it. And some of them wanted to adjourn, some began to pray, some sat and wringing their hands in fear. Some began to confess all of their sins and prepare themselves for the inevitable meeting that they all thought perhaps that they could have avoided. The Speaker of the House, he stood still. And he looked out over his colleagues in their confusion. And he stood there with another idea in his heart. And he said, "Friends, we are all upset by this darkness. And some of us are frightened by this darkness. But the day of our Lord is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for us to adjourn. And if the day of the Lord is here and he is returning, I for one choose to be found doing my duty. And I therefore ask that candles be brought so that we may continue." In a room full of individuals who believed that Jesus would soon be in their midst, they went back to their desks, they lit their candles, and they continued their work. These are the days for us to light our candles, friends. The message is, stand up, don't be afraid. Stand up, raise your head, let the light of God fall on your face, because your redemption draweth nigh.